Ferris B'nai Torah presents The Shmooze, an engaging and motivating Mussar and Hashkafa series that deals with real-life issues.
This evening's shiur is sponsored by Chesky Eider. We'd like to thank him. And the schus, besides everything else, should be a schus. He should join us more often. Parshas Vayera opens up with a very interesting event. Three malachim come to visit Avram Avinu and tell him a number of things. One of the messages that the malachim are coming to tell him is that his wife will have a child. She was 90 years old, he at the time was 99. Quite an obvious miracle, and the psukim are very clear that Sarah Imenu did not believe the news. The pasuk is very clear, Vatishak Sarah Bekir Balemor. Sarah laughed, Achrei Bolsi, I say the Edna, I'm an old woman, Vadoni Zokin, my master is old, can't be, she laughed. Now obviously, when we're dealing with a woman of Sarah Imenu's stature, a Nevi'ah, it would be ridiculous to assume that she didn't believe Hashem was capable of doing this. Granted, it was a remarkable miracle, but these people, Avram, Sarah, lived with Nisim on a daily basis. And the Sfuna, in fact, explains that, of course, it was not a chasarn in her betochen, it wasn't a lack in her emunah, it wasn't that she didn't believe Hashem could, rather, she didn't believe these people. And the Sfurna explains very clearly why. The Sfurna says that she viewed these three people as dignitaries, maybe as Nevi'im, and she viewed the message that they were speaking as a bracha of a Navi, meaning she assumed that these words were coming from them, they were giving their bracha to her, and they were saying, you should have a child. Therefore, says the Sfurna, Sarah Imenu laughed because this type of event for an older woman to have a child at the age of 90 is such a powerful nace, it requires such a metamorphosis, a total, complete transformation, that it's the equivalent of Tchias HaMeisim. It's the same structural change as taking a dead person and bringing him back to life. The woman physically was incapable, and therefore she assumed that of course their bracha, as great as it is, could not accomplish it. And the Sfurna says, she understood that their bracha might have a koach like Elisha, when Elisha had the oil continue to pouring. But this event, to take an old woman and make her young again, there are only two things that could possibly accomplish that. And that's either a direct intervention by Hashem, Hashem directly being involved, or, says the Sfurna, a tefillah that finds chen, that finds favor in Hashem's eyes. So it was not at all a lack of her betochen in Hashem's capacity, but rather she looked at these three people as powerful Nevi'im. Their bracha would be the equivalent of Elisha Hanavi's bracha. But the type of event of taking her, and again, she was totally barren, not just barren, she didn't have the kids, she had no uterus. To do that type of transformation was something that only two powers on this earth can accomplish, either direct intervention by Hashem or a tefillah, a davening that finds favor in Hashem's eyes. Now, I think if we listen to the Sfurna a little bit, I think we see a very, very powerful, powerful lesson that may not be as obvious to the eye. Let's understand what's going on here. This woman understood that there were two diverse levels in Nisim. There is a nace on the level of Elisha. Now that nace, if you remember the story from Navi, what happened was, the Malbim explains that Ovadia hid 100 Nevi'im in a cave. These Nevi'im were very great people. They had no food. And Ovadia offered to supply them with their needs. He wasn't a wealthy man, so he took out a loan. He took out a loan and he supplied them with food, with water, whatever they needed. After a while, Ovadia died. The people from whom he borrowed the money came to collect the debt. The widow didn't have money to pay for it. So these people said, fine, we'll take your children, we'll take your two sons as avodim. And in fact, they collected their chov, they collected their debt by taking this woman's two sons as slaves. This woman comes running to Elisha Novi and says, this is travesty. my husband goes ahead and borrows money to save these Nevi'im's life. He doesn't have the money, he borrows, and then they take my children as slaves. So Elisha said, listen to me. I want you to go to your neighbors, and I want you to borrow kalim, jugs, pots, pans, anything that has a toch, anything that holds something. I want you to borrow and borrow and borrow, is fill up the house. Then Elisha took a jug of oil. He had everyone close the doors, and he began pouring the oil. He poured it into one jug. She took away that jug. She brought another one. He kept pouring and pouring from this little jug. He kept filling up pot after pot, jug after jug, until all of the vessels in the house were filled. He finally said, are there any more vessels? When she said no, the oil stopped pouring. Now, what do you say if you witness a miracle like that? I mean, oil from a little jug doesn't just propagate and continue pouring and pouring and pouring. It's an overt and obvious miracle. You fall on your face and you say, wow, that's a nes, that's a miracle, that's not shayach. What the Sforna is saying is that when Sarah Imenu looked at these three men, she assumed that they had the power of a Navi equivalent to Elisha. They could give a bracha that was unbelievable. But that wasn't powerful enough. What she needed was Tchias HaMesim. Tchias HaMesim is a much, much higher level of miracle, and these people couldn't accomplish that. What can? Only Hashem's direct intervention, or, and here's the punchline, a tefillah, a davening that finds favor in Hashem's eyes. So what the Sforna is saying, if we hear his words, is that a tefillah that finds favor in Hashem's eyes is more powerful than a Navi can accomplish with the miracles of oils continuing to pour and whatever else a Navi can do. A tefillah, my davening, that finds favor in Hashem's eyes is potentially more powerful and more potent. And again, I think it's a very, very powerful lesson into the koach of tefillah, the power of tefillah, the effect of tefillah, how powerful it is. And you guys will be mocking me for this mushel, but I do want to share this. First of all, because I thought of it and I think it's cute, but here, let me share this and you'll see why in a minute. Imagine for a minute like this. Imagine for a minute I say to you guys, listen, you know, we got this organization, Tiferes Bachurim, we want to get it off the ground, and we, you know, but the problem is, like everything in life, we need money. So we decide we're going to go to a famous Kabbalist, a famous Baba Sali type person, and we're going to ask him for help. So we present the whole thing, the Rishiva held it is, and we want to do this again, and so can you help us? So imagine for a minute that this person says to us, fine, I believe in the cause, I'm going to help you. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go to Walmart, and I want you to buy 100 Matchbox cars. And at 6 a.m. when the parking lot is empty, I want you to lay these cars out, but make sure that there's 6 feet distance between each one. Listen to this famous Kabbalist. He wears a hood over his head. I don't argue. I do it. Fine. Lay them out 6 feet apart. Lay them out. He goes into the base medrash, lights the black candles, and he starts saying all the incantations. And lo and behold, the 100 Matchbox cars start growing and growing and growing. So you see 6 foot an SUV, a Cadillac. You see mamish full-size vehicles filling up the parking lot. He says, now go sell them. There's your funding. Now, all jokes aside, what would happen if you saw anything in that range? You'd fall on your face and say, that's a nace. What are you going to, the man's an Ish Elokim, the man's a man of God. It's so beyond the pale that you're just mesmerized by the man's power. But listen to what the Sforna is saying. The Sforna was saying that Sarah Imenu understood that these people had that kind of koach. That's what Elisha did. When Elisha took oil and it continued pouring, there were no SUVs back then, but oil was basically that was one of the commodities. It was a valuable commodity, and it continued growing and growing and growing. It was a nace, the equivalent of SUVs popping out of Matchbox cars. Sarah Imenu had no problem with that, but she knew that she needed something even greater, and the only thing that would be powerful enough to accomplish what she wanted was a tefillah that finds favor in Hashem's eyes. Tefillah, more powerful, more potent than Baba Sali, than Elisha, than powerful Nisim. And again, I think if we take nothing else from this Chazal, just this understanding that someone, a Gadol B'Torah, one of the Rishonim, the Sforna, is telling us that is the extent of how powerful a tefillah that finds favor in Hashem's eyes is, even if we don't understand it, I think it's a powerful and important lesson. But I'd like to spend some time now trying to understand how in fact it works and why in fact it makes sense. Now we've heard often and often, especially if you've been in yeshiva enough years, you hear powerful, how tefillah is so powerful, it's so potent, tefillahs are answered, and you just have to ask. I think the question is why, how does it work, and certainly when you're dealing with what the Sforna is saying, what's pshat? So let me start with an observation. In 1987, an 18-month-old baby, some of you folks may remember, Jessica McClure, fell into a well. For the next 58 hours, the United States of America was mesmerized, totally captivated with baby Jessica. You couldn't turn on a TV, you couldn't open a newspaper without pictures of baby Jessica before she fell in the little well. It was kind of like a little hole in the ground, and you had commentators, but not just that. You had so many volunteers. She fell in a well in Texas. People were flying from all over the country. And you saw these grub crane operators. Oh, we're going to do it. People were volunteering their time, their money, their effort. The whole country circled and surrounded this one issue. And in fact, they rescued her and saved her. And she went on. In fact, now, some number of years, 15, 16 years later, they're even doing follow-up articles about her. Okay. Now, why is it that the world became mesmerized with a little child being falling in a well? Plenty of adults get caught in tunnels. Plenty of adults get trapped. I think the answer is something very important that the Stipler tells us. The Stipler says that if you ever notice when a little child walks in the room, all eyes sort of light up and everybody gets a smile, right? You have a wedding and they start playing Puff the Kosher Dragon, when the little kids walk by, you could kvel, all the grandmas and all the people, they're all kvelling, right? Children find favor in our eyes. As a matter of fact, there's an instinctive, natural love that an adult has for a child. Says the Stipler, if you think about it, there's nothing intrinsically cute about a kid. Kids are short, they're squat, they're built funny, their heads are totally out of proportion. Their head is huge compared to the rest of their body. An infant's head is 25% of its body. They're noisy, they're bratty, and by all rights, when they come up to shul, you should swat them, knock them down, and stop the obnoxious behavior, right? But that's not what happens. Oh, he's so cute, and look, his matching outfit and the pantaloons. And my son, this is not a joke, my son, when he was 13, saw a baby picture of him and said to my wife, "Mommy, how come you dressed me like a girl when I was a little boy?" But this is the deal, they dress them up, they make the shul, and everybody loves the cute, pinch of cheeks. What's pshat? Says the Stipler, there is nothing intrinsically cute about a kid, but Hashem put a chain for little children in adults' hearts so that when a little child walks into shul, you don't swat him and knock him down, so that you take care of the child, so that you help the child, so that you bring the child up. It's not natural. It's not instinctive. It's something that Hashem put into the heart of adults, a chen, a love, an attraction for children. Now, on a personal level, I've seen this over and over. I remember when my Racheli was 4 years old, I used to brush her teeth every night. Now, don't get me wrong. It wasn't because of the hygiene, and I wasn't on a plaque attack, get the teeth clean. I was insistent that I personally brush her teeth, meaning I wouldn't let her do the brushing. I had to take the toothbrush and brush her teeth every night. Why? Only one reason, because she was so cute. And just holding the toothbrush on her little teeth, it was so much fun that I would do it every night. Now, gentlemen, listen to what I'm saying to you now. This is a very, very deep point. Rahman al-Atslan, when adults get older, and you have parents sometimes who become infirm, you have to do things for them that very, very difficult to do. Rahman al-Atslan, even you have sometimes parents who need help going to the bathroom. And it is very, very hard. An older person who no longer has full capacities and you have to assist them with their daily needs, it's a very, very difficult situation for them and for you. Yet, for a child, it's not. I change my children's diaper all the time and I pinched a little tushy and so cute, and nobody bothers. Doesn't bother me, doesn't bother the kid. But when it's an adult, it's very, very different. You know why? Biologically, it's the equivalent. Physically, it's the same. There's one difference. With a child, there's a cuteness, there's a chain, the little child, it's cute, and you want to pinch the little child, and you don't mind, you enjoy brushing the child's teeth, you don't mind changing the diaper. But once a person becomes an adult, that chain dissipates. So now you're left with the raw activity. And the raw activity is very difficult. It is very difficult to take care of another human being. It's very difficult to care for the bodily functions of another human being. But for a child, it's very easy, because Hashem put a chain, put a love in our hearts for children. Says the Chovos HaLevavos, if you want to understand our relationship to Hashem, take that chain. Take that feeling, that warm feeling in your heart when you see a little kid and you want to smile and hug him. Multiply that by 10,000 times and you'll begin to understand an inkling, a small percentage of how much Hashem loves us. See, that chain is not intrinsic. When the little kid walks into the room and I just want to quell, Hashem put that sense, Hashem put that feeling into my heart. That's not be'etzem a part of me, but it is completely a part of Hashem. And that love and that caring, that devotion, that feeling of, oi, that's my yingala, is something that Hashem feels for us. But the feeling that you'll feel for a little child is nothing compared to the feeling that you feel for your child. When it's your son, when it's your daughter, the feelings are much more intense. The bond is much stronger. And it's a whole different ballgame. I remember when my son, Shalom Aryeh, was 2 years old, and he had a high fever and he broke a bone, and they didn't know what it was, but they suspected the worst, and they suspected all kinds of bone disease, etc. I took him into the hospital, to the emergency room, and it was 12 o'clock at night when the doctor said, we have to draw blood from a very deep vein. They couldn't just take it from a vein, they had to take it from a deep vein. So two phlebotomists, you know, these two guys all dressed in white, you know, what do you call it, Count Dracula's, right? They gather around this, and you have to imagine, there's this little kid, he's 2 years old, he's lying on a table, these two big men are standing around, and they asked me to help hold him down. So I helped hold him down, and they had to draw from his thigh. They take out a needle about this big, because they have to penetrate deep into the thigh, so I'm holding his thighs like this, the other guy's holding his head and chest down, and the guy with the white mask holds the needle to put into his thigh, and Shalom Aryeh looks up to me and goes, Abba, make them stop, please. I wanted to melt. I wanted to cry. What do you say? It's my kid. It's my flesh and blood. Says the Chovos HaLevavos, if you want to understand a father's relationship to his son, it is an extension of him. Meaning, when the kid gets cut, it's not the kid. It's the father. It's like an extension. It's like another arm. It's like a piece of me. That's the bond. That's the relationship. That's the connection that a father feels for his son. And says the Chovos HaLevavos, that is something that Hashem implanted in the father's heart, but is only an inkling, a fraction of a fraction of the love, the bond, the attachment that Hashem has to any of his creations, including you and me. And it's almost a foreign concept to us, but it's something you have to think about, that Hashem loves me. What does that mean? Hashem loves me. Hashem loves me. Hashem doesn't even know me. I guess Hashem knows me because He created me, but Hashem loves me. Hashem loves me. But what did I do? What do you mean Hashem loves me? Did I do something? Did I learn 50 black Gemara about Pad? Did I give stucca? The answer is I did nothing. Before I was created, I didn't give stucca. Before I created, I didn't learn Torah. Before I created, I didn't do chesed. I was nothing, but Hashem created me for no reason other than to share, to give, to help me. And that hargasha, that feeling, that love, Hashem continues to feel. And if you want to understand why tefillah is so powerful, if you want to understand why davening is so effective, it's because it hits on that relationship. When a son comes back to his father and says, Tati, help me, please. Please? And especially if the son is really, really sincere, if the son has tears in his eyes and says, I can't do it, please help me. Is there a father alive who won't do anything to help the son? And that is our relationship with our Creator. Bonim atem l'shem elokeichem. It's a pasuk in Chumash. You, the Jewish nation, are children. Literally, bonim. We are children to Hashem. And as a ben, we have a right to come to our father and beg. Not because I'm worthy. Not because I'm great. Not because I have any right. I'm entitled to nothing. And I'm not saying to Hashem, you know, I'm a chashuv guy and I deserve and this is coming to me. Entitlement. Come on, this is what I... No. There is nothing coming to me. I'm nothing. I'm deserving. I'm Shem. I'm coming to you as a son to a father asking for help. Please. And the reason why tefillah is so potent and so effective is because it hits that relationship. When a person turns to his father and says, Tati, please help me, the father listens and the father answers. And Kol Shekein, when it's a father who's so merciful, so kindly, so loving, so giving, that it breaks all bonds. You know, I want to share with you guys a story that you get in, you know, in yeshiva they train you to do some things, but not a lot of things. I was not trained to handle this following scenario. It used to be a big deal to drive the reshiva to Blatchia. It was considered a big kavod, especially got to talk to the reshiva and learning back and forth. One time it was my chance, I got the opportunity, I go to pick up the reshiva, and so it's 12 o'clock, midday, right there on Groton Street. I open the door, go in, bring the reshiva out, I open the door to the car, and before the reshiva sits down, the reshiva does this. He gives me a full bear hug. Barry, I love you! And I'm standing there, 12 o'clock noon on Groton Street, a grown man, and a Gadol B'Yisrael is hugging me, telling me, I love you. What do you say? I mean, I love you too, Rabbi. So what I did was, I said, and then when the Shiva let me go, I kind of allowed the Shiva to sit down, close the door, and continued about my business. Now, why am I telling you that? Because when you have the opportunity to be amongst Gadol Yisrael, you'll see that love, that flowing kindness, that ahava is something that's innate and intrinsic. And gentlemen, it's a little bit of a chiddush, but I'm telling you, that is our relationship with our Creator. Hashem loves us. Hashem waits for us. Hashem wants our tefillahs, and Hashem is there as a father waiting for us to ask. But you'll notice that there's a big difference between your relationship when you're 2 to your father and your relationship when you're 15. You know, when you're a 2-year-old kid, you're so cute and you just love to sit on your father's lap and your father loves to have you sit on his lap. But when you're 15, you're no longer sitting on your father's lap. And when you're 25, your father really doesn't want that kind of attention. And it changes. Your relationship changes. Your devotion. Now, don't get me wrong. Your father still loves you. But it's a little different. By the way, I want to share with you guys something my grandmother, when she was an older woman, said to me many, many times. She said to me, remember this. Your parents are your best friends. Your parents are your best friends. And when I was younger, I didn't appreciate that so much, but I wanted to tell you what she was saying. You know what she was saying? People have this attitude. Listen, especially, you know, I got friends, I got buddies, you know, my friends will take care of me if ever I'm in trouble. Gentlemen, listen to what I'm saying to you. If you're ever in trouble, I mean, imagine you did something stupid. Somebody offered you a business deal and it was a little shady and you shouldn't have, you knew you shouldn't have, but you went ahead with it and you got busted. You got arrested. And you're now in jail and you have to make a phone call to raise the $10,000 bail. How many of your friends are you going to rely on to say, 10 grand, no problem? Let's make it better. It becomes a serious court case, and you got to hire lawyers. And the legal bill is $100,000. How many of your buddies, how many of your good friends, oh, we hung out in high school and we kept in contact, we were the best of the best. How many of your buddies can you rely on for, you know, $100,000? You can't. But you know that no matter what your relationship is with your father, you can always go back. And if you're in trouble, and I mean if you're really in trouble, you can always bank on those people, your parents. And by the way, gentlemen, it's not even, oftentimes it's not even your spouse. But your parents, your father and your mother who brought you into this world are the only people you could ultimately rely on, trust, and depend on no matter what. No matter what. But again, your relationship to your parents when you're 2 is very different than when you're 15 and very different when you're 25. When you were 2 years old, you were cute and you sat on your father's lap. It was great. But your father's not going to show up to jail to bail you out and say, "Hi, Maishala, you're such a cutie pie. 10 grand, no problem, because you're so cute. And just a pinch of cheeks, it's worth it." It's going to be rough because some of that natural chain dissipated. But I want to share something with you. That love that Hashem has for us doesn't change. It's unconditional. That same chain, when the father holds his newborn baby for the first time in his arms and he feels a bonding and attachment. My wife asked me, Baruch Hashem, we just had a kid, and my wife was kissing the baby and she said, "Isn't this weird? This baby wasn't here. It wasn't existing. I never knew that. And now I'm kissing the baby." That bond, that attachment starts to dissipate, starts to lessen, because it's something that's implanted, a foreign entity into the heart of a human. But our relationship with Hashem doesn't change. That unconditional love doesn't dissipate, doesn't change, and Hashem loves us with that same intensity, that same powerful, powerful bond and love when you're 2, when you're 15, when you're 25. If you want to understand how tefillah works, it works because we're appealing to a much higher level emotion. We're appealing to Hashem's rachamim. Sara Imenu understood this. She understood that these 3 men who walked into her world were powerful. They were Nevi'im who had the koach of an Elisha. They could pour oil and it would continue out. But they didn't have the power necessary that a tefillah that finds favor in Hashem's eyes does. And as much as she respected them, she recognized what she needed was something much greater. The only thing that could possibly help her was a tefillah that found favor in Hashem's eyes. And now, gentlemen, I want to share something with you that I think is very, very important. I have a recommendation. For many people, in fact, probably for most of us, davening is very difficult. It's a hard thing to do. I'm talking to the walls. I'm reading the words. I have a recommendation. You want to work on davening, you want to work on tefillah, I actually heard Rabbi Krohn mention this, and it's a very good idea. Personalize every Shemoneh Esrei. What that means, the next time you're davening, in Shema Kolenu, in English, make a request. The halacha is you're allowed to ask main the bracha, anything that's in the content of that bracha, you're allowed to ask in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. If you're not sure where it fits, do it in Shema Kolenu. Shema Kolenu, right before Kiyat HaShomea, you could stop there and ask for anything. Stop. Next time you're davening Shemoneh Esrei, make it Marav. Stop before Kiyat HaShomea and make a personalized request. Ask Hashem for something. What do you ask for? There's a lot to ask for. Parnosa, Shaduchim, children. There's a whole gamut. There's a whole world of things to ask for. But ask personally, in your own words, in English. Don't do it in Hebrew, because Hebrew isn't my tongue. It's not natural. In English, ask Hashem for help with whatever you're looking for. Now, I don't know about you guys, but you may find something that I found over and over. Professionally, I teach high school, and I'll say this concept to a high school fellow, 16, 17-year-old guy. I'll tell him about davening and talking about personalizing Shemoneh Esrei, and this is sort of what happens. He gets ready, wow, Rabbi Schaefer talked about power of tefillah, I'm going to work on it. The next Shemoneh Esrei, he stands there, and he gets up to Shema Kolenu, and he stops, and he says, okay, now I'm going to ask Hashem, you know, I got a big test coming up, I'm going to ask Hashem for help. I'm not sure what I call you, Hashem, nobody sees me do this, weird. Hashem, I kind of feel funny, you know, doing this, but I got this test coming up, and, you know, Hashem, can I, please help? Now listen to what I'm saying to you. Why did he have so much trouble? This guy has been davening since he's 6 years old. He's been davening Shemoneh Esrei for 10 years. Why can't he figure out what he calls? Hashem, my tati, my father, I feel so weird. Hope nobody looks at me. Hope nobody sees what I'm doing. You know why? Because for the first time in his life, he's davening. That is the first time that he's davening to his creator. That means every other time, he never came to the single cognition. I, little me, am talking to the creators of the heavens and the earth and making a request. Well, sir, where were you? Where were you in cheder? Where were you in high school? Where was your... I don't know, I was just reading the words. And gentlemen, I want you to understand, even if you get good at this, and even if you practice and you learn how to speak to Hashem, which is an art and a science, but even if you get good at it, you may find yourself, one Shemoneh Esrei, I got a real big deal to ask Hashem for. I got a business deal coming up. I have a kid I got to marry off. I have an issue, shidduch for myself. And you, in the middle of Shema Kolenu, you're ready, you say the words, and you're accustomed. You've done this a number of times before. You're used to this. You know how to speak to Hashem. And you say the words. And by the way, it's a lot better if you're married. It's a lot easier to daven. You know why? I put my talus over my head, and I don't care. You don't see me. I don't care. My heart. I can talk. It's pretty hard. It's not so pushit when other people are looking. But imagine that you're able to do it. And you say, Hashem, you know, I have this real big deal thing. Could you please help me out? You may then, at that point, recognize something very interesting. Do you know, it's been a real long time since I talked to Hashem. It's been a real long time since I recognized that the Creator of the heavens and the earth is present. And it's almost like I have to say, excuse me, I apologize for it being so long since I last visited. But recognize that is the essence of tefillah. Tefillah is a conversation. Tefillah is a request. Tefillah is my talking to Hashem and saying, please help me. And you should know, oftentimes we're given situations, needs, lacks, things in our life strictly so that we should need those things, so that we should come to talk to Hashem and ask. Because not only does asking work, but it's probably the greatest single catalyst for developing a real relationship with Hashem. And a real relationship means knowing that Hashem not only created the world, runs the world, maintains the world, but Hashem is present in my life. But it's not something that comes easy. It's not something that comes easy. It's something that requires attention. But says in the Sefer Yesharim, if a person works on it, it's something that a person can master. Not every Shemoneh Esrei is going to be the same level. Not every davening is going to be great. But if a person takes the time before davening or during davening and stops and makes a personal request, Hashem, I need help. And we have so many things to ask for. So many things in our life that are worth asking for. And if we hear the words of the Sfuna, what the Sfuna is saying is that not only does tefillah work, it's the most powerful, potent force on the planet beyond Baba Sali's brachas, beyond the greatest Rebbe giving you a segula. All of that stuff pales in comparison to a tefillah that finds favor in Hashem's eyes. And how can it not find favor when a son asks for something that's appropriate, that's proper, that's good? I can't tell you if you're going to ask for $1 million so you could blow it on a Lamborghini, you're going to get it. But I can tell you that if you come as a son to your father and say, Tati, Hashem, my father, I need this. It's not flamboyant. It's not extravagant. It's a need. I need. I need a parnasa. I need health. I need stability in my life. There are things going on I need help with. Please help me. The Sfona is telling us that not only does Hashem listen, that's the most powerful, potent force on the planet. And I want to close with one observation. And that observation is that for a lot of guys, it's hard to daven. Because, listen, who am I? Listen, I hear Hashem is tremendous, you know, a love for people, and Hashem loves to do chesed. But listen, I've been through a lot in my life already. And I've done a lot of things that Hashem's not too happy with. I'm sure not proud of it. So who am I to stand in front of Hashem and say, Hashem, I need these things? Listen to what I want to share with you. We do not say a complete Hallel on Pesach. And since the time you're a little kid, you know the Medrash. The Malachi Hashoris were Bikshu Loma Shira. The Malachim requested to say Shira when they saw the Mitzrim, when they saw the Egyptian taskmasters being drowned at the Yamsuf, they requested to sing Hallel. this monumental occasion, this one moment of history where Hashem reveals Himself, Hashem shows He's the Melech, Hashem does nisim of the most unimaginable portions of Malachim wanted to say Shira. And Hashem says, no. Ma'aseh yodai tavu bayam, my handiwork are drowning. You can't sing Hallel. It's not a joyous occasion. Now listen to what I'm saying to you. If you take the worst Nazi you could imagine, I believe that's the equivalent to an Egyptian taskmaster. You know, we look at the Egyptian, oh, you know, Paro said, no, 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 I won't let my people go. They beat Jews, they killed Jews, they baked babies into walls. They would kill Paro himself. When he had Saras, killed 150 babies to bathe in their blood, and he couldn't bathe in the same blood in the evening that he bathed in the morning because it wouldn't have the same potency, so he killed an additional 150. Not only were they Rishoyim, but they lived through 10 months of the ultimate revelation of Hashem's hand, Dam, Sodeya, Kinim, and after it all, not only did they deny Hashem's existence, they chased the Klal Yisrael into the Yam Suf. To the very bitter end, they wanted to drag us back to further the torture. And Hashem says, you can't sing Shira. What do you mean you can't sing? The Rishayim, the ultimate wicked people, are destroyed. Hashem says, you can't sing Shira. It's Masa Yadai. It's my handiwork. It's not appropriate. That is the tolerance, the love of a creator for his creations. For a goy, Russia, kavachomer ben benosha, kavachomer to a Jew, to a bonim, to a child who says to Hashem, listen, I'm not proud of everything I do. It's a rough world out there. I'm trying. I'm sincerely trying, and I'm coming to you, my father, and I'm asking for help. If a person does that, not only are their tefillahs answered, not only do they begin to get accomplished things in this world that they need, but they begin to understand their relationship. I, Hashem, a son to a father who loves me, a father who wants only the best. When a person does that, their whole life takes on a different sense, a different meaning, and they begin to be an Eved Hashem, and they learn how to daven.
You've been listening to The Shmooze, presented by Teferis B'nai Torah. For more information on The Shmooze, please visit us at www.theshmooze.com, where you can download all the Shmoozin free of charge, as well as view source sheets and address questions or comments on this or any other Shmooze. The Shmooze is completely funded by private donations. We need your help to continue our work. All donations are tax deductible and count as miser. Please help us help others by calling 866-613-TORAH. That's 866-613-TORAH. Or you can make your donation right on the web at www.theshmooze.com.